In 1981, everything will have changed. You will see, you will see, you will see. You will stand. You will walk down the street, no friends you will meet. All your friends that you have known are gone and locked in Santa Rita. America was not what you thought it would be. We have seen all her in the fall of the year, in
1981. Thank you, Carmen. For many years, we have let our sympathies be quite publicly known that the United States government was not our mother, but that the Soviet Union was our spiritual motherland. It is amazing that for so many years we got by saying it. But I'm glad after many hours of the kindest of benevolence of our consular of the Soviet embassy, Fyodor Timofeyev, spending hours and hours fulfilling our highest ideals and our noblest expectations, we were not mistaken in allying our purposes, our destiny, with the destiny of the Soviet Union. Thank you. for the first time, and we have served many a guest in this community. But for the first time, we had this guest wonder, are we being given special treatment? And we said, yes. And they said, we want no special treatment. We want to eat with you. We want to eat what you eat and sacrifice with you if it's necessary. Enjoy what you enjoy, and whatever you go through, go through. That's the kind of brother and sister we appreciate. For the first time, hundreds of guests have come through here in the name of socialism. Hundreds of guests, but for the first time, and now I give you without further ado, the consular and the chief of the press department of the embassy of the USSR of Guyana, so proudly, Theodore Timofeyev. Will you come forward? Come forward. He is deserving of your welcome and your praise.
Здравствуйте, добрый вечер, дорогие товарищи. First of all, on behalf of the Embassy of the USSR, I'd like to send to you my deepest and our deepest and the most sincere greeting to the people of the first socialist and communist community of the United States of America, in Guyana and in the world. Well, for me it's a great privilege to be in your community, to see what I've heard from the representatives of the People's Temple in Georgetown about your successes, about development of your project, about your exits in many, many fields. What I was heard and then was seen by the picture, now I've been the eyes witnesses, and with me, the Soviet people, the Soviet press will know much more about this wonderful, this so dear for us, community, which we, as I called before, the first American socialist and the communist community. Its history almost 61 years ago, as I heard yesterday, from the small boy up to the most senior citizen of your community knows that 1970, October 1970, was the date of the great October Socialist Revolution. It is for the first time in the history of the mankind, working class peasants, intelligentsia, the soldiers, under the guidance of Bolshevik, or now we call it Communist Party of the Soviet Union, who have been founded by our dear Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, created the first socialist country in the world, and the new era of the socialism started in October 1970. Thank you. I'm sure you read through the books how difficult was this past for 61 years for us. We passed through the First World War, we call it Civil War, we passed through the Second World War, and I heard yesterday that everybody knows here that struggling for the socialism, defending the cause of peace and socialism, we lost 20 million of our people, but we protect the whole world against fascism, against imperialism. With our glorious victory in the Second World War, we call it Great Patriotic War, another stage of the developing of the world community started. After the Second World War, the peoples of Europe, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, Yugoslavia, GDR and some other, started in the first time in the history to build their own socialist community. And not only the Soviet Union, but another fraternal socialist country became the power which defends not only themselves, but defends the all progressive mankind, defends the countries which develop and which pass from colonialism to independence. Whose independence comes but imperialistic forces didn't want them to be independent. Superficially only they recognize this independence, but economically, politically, they still try to reorientate them, to put to make them work under their instructions. And everybody of you know that the Soviet Union, the socialist country of the Europe, communist Cuba, always support the struggle of the national liberation movement in Africa, in Angola, Mozambique, in Ethiopia, and we will support the national liberation movements in South Africa. As I mentioned, comrades, our life, our way towards the country, as we call ourselves now, the country of developed socialism, was not very easy. But when we became the country of developed socialism, from the very beginning, we knew that the working people all over the world are in solidarity with the Soviet Union. The American workers in the 1917 sent the letters to Comrade Vladimir Ilyich Lenin with the solidarity with our revolution. And it was not only that. During the Second World War, we know hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of Americans who sent their checks, who sent the warm clothes, who have been with us during the most difficult period when the Nazi troops tried to capture the capital of the Soviet Union, our dear Moscow. So I'd like to thank comrades who stay here, who are the socialists by their hearts, by their minds, that you also have the history. You have the history of the socialist brother, which shared the communist conviction, and it started not today, and it started together with our revolution. So on behalf of our embassy, thank you very much that you are now the socialist and the communist. Well, I have maybe not much time to speak, because, comrades, well, if we touch any topic about the Soviet Union, it may be interesting for you to know from myself, from our comrade Nikolai, our doctor who have been there. He makes a talk with the medical staff of People's Temple, and they exchange of very important points of view about the health program, which you also have here. But, well, maybe I speak a couple of words about what we reach in the field of culture, education, agriculture. Well, we are the country, and everybody knows of you, with the 130 different nationalities and national groups. For us, it was not so easy to resolve the national question, because previously, before the revolution, the Tsar, and well, he was the head of bourgeois, of imperialistic government, he oppressed the minority who have been lived in the borders of the Russia. We never had, Russia never had been the colonial country as it is. That's why we, well, the Russia never brought to its country the slaves from the different, from other continents, like from Africa. We didn't have, that's why, big African population in our country. Some comrades in Guyana, when we organized the exhibition dedicated to the 16th anniversary of the Great October Revolution in Georgetown, asked me, well, what I've seen is really wonderful. You reached tremendous successes in many fields. But why there is a discrimination of colored people in the Soviet Union? Well, I answered him, dear comrades, we have 130 national and nationals group, but because we've never been the colonial country, we never brought color so-called people from abroad, and that's why there is no big community of people from Africa in our country. It's not our fault. Now we have the young generation of Africans, of our Soviet citizens, who grow up in the epoch of the socialism. Some people from Africa and Latin America have married the Soviet women and live in the Soviet Union. So they have a kid, and that's our African and Soviet population, which have the equal rights, privileges with the people of the Soviet Union. So there is no national discrimination. There is no racial discrimination in the Soviet Union. So as I continue, we reach the stage when there is no racial discrimination, and besides of that, we develop the joint socialist culture. This culture, the composition of this culture, made from the cultures of every small group, we put all our forces to develop the national languages, to develop national culture, different skills, and they made the contribution to our joint to our joint culture, and we call it the culture of the socialism, where every nationality, every national group make the best to develop the ideas of the socialism, to develop ideas of the communism, and this is the base for our culture, and every nationality participated very actively. Touching the question that very often been asked by me in the different auditorium, but maybe everybody of you knows that the Soviet Union in the field of culture make the tremendous progress. We have about 500 big folklore troupe. Everybody heard the name of the Bolshoi Theater. It's our ballet. But it's only one from the 30 ballet theater in the Soviet Union. We, as I mentioned, have many scientific cadres. It's also the part of our culture, the part of our educational system. Our opponents in the United States of America, imperialist forces, try to say that the Soviet Jewish are discriminated. I may tell you, comrades, it is a lie. I agree with you, comrades. There is no question of Soviet Jewish in the Soviet Union. In the opposite, there is a question of discrimination of black Jewish in the United States of America. There is a question of discrimination of Jews in their political rights. I don't speak about the discrimination of different people who are not so-called white in the United States of America. And one who tried to say that we discriminate somebody should first of all resolve its own problem and its own country. When I mentioned that in the Soviet Union there is a big amount of scientists, just as an example how that problem had been resolved. Every third person from the Jewish, Soviet Jewish, have the highest education and is employed as a scientist, teacher, lawyer or doctor by our country. In comparison with other nations, where there is maybe the percent of the scientific personnel is not so high. Among the Russians, it's every eighth person is a scientist. Among the Jewish, it's every third person is a scientist. So we give the Jewish people the equal rights, but because they are smaller, and they want to know much more about the socialism, and they train in the highest university, they have the higher percent than some other nations. It doesn't mean that the Russians are discriminating the Soviet Union, but just as example, I gave that. Well, comrades, of course our culture is directly connected with education. From the very beginning of our state, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin told, speaking to the youth in the Third Congress of the Communist League or the Soviet Union, it was a very difficult period. Our country had been destroyed by the foreign intervention in 1921, it happened, by foreign intervention, by the local aggression, and the bourgeois forces tried to organize military coups in the Soviet Union. They tried to assassinate Lenin almost a couple months after his speech. But in this difficult epoch, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, when he was addressed to the youth, he told, "Comrades, your first task is to study, and again to study, how to build the socialism, how to build this communism." So our young people, our old people, our middle generation or teenagers, everybody knows the importance of the knowledge. Because only through the knowledge, through the understanding of the international processes, through the understanding of theory of communism, of the Marxist-Leninist philosophy, of political economy, and some other subjects, you can really become the communist. You can really build a society which is free of exploitation, free of any form of racial or any other discrimination, because you should know the theory, how to build. But not only know it, but implement practically and daily in your life. And I am very happy that I saw here in Johnstown the full harmony of theory which have been created by Marx, Engels, Lenin, and the practical implementation of this
some fundamental features of this theory. Under the leadership, or together with you, by Comrade Jim Jones, and I'd like to thank him for that. Dear comrades, of course, in our society, in the Soviet Union, we have not only the successes. Frankly, as we get used to speak between the socialists, between communists to communists, I may tell you that we also have some difficulties, problems we should overcome, which we must overcome. These problems exist in the different sphere, but we are not afraid of the problems. We are not afraid of the difficulties. We spoke openly about them, because if we hide your difficulties, if you hide there's something wrong in your society or in your community, it became worse. So we criticize through the party meetings, through the gathering of our people. We criticize some negative sides of our society. And believe me, every day, every year, we grow up, we became stronger, we passed over our problems and difficulties, and we became stronger in the cause of the socialism, in the cause of build a communist society in our country. Well, comrades, I may, as I explain you, I may talk for a long period of time, but will you permit me to say a couple of words in the end of my short, maybe not so brilliant speech, and I did not pretend to be, but I'd like to wish you, dear comrades, all the successes to your great, to your very big work you're doing here. You already done a lot, but a lot you should do in the future. You should make your community one of the most one of the best community which any person in America can dream. And what I've heard here when I spoke to the comrades, I understood that people come together with Comrade Jim Jones in the People's Temple.